Most loving, gracious, eternal God, we rejoice this Sabbath morning finds us in Thy house, and now in Thy presence. We rejoice also. Once again, we have this wonderful opportunity of gathering around Thy holy word. And our Father, it is our prayer. By Thy Spirit, this word will speak to our hearts. And through the word, gracious Lord, may we this day again see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us, Lord, with the power of Thy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to proclaim the whole counsel of God and to preach Christ in all His fullness. We ask these things, Lord, in Thy name and for Thy glory alone. Amen. I would like to leave with you this morning the words of verse 42. Verse 42 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. The Lord Jesus, addressing the Pharisees, said, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Later this week, we as a church will be taking our stand against the stage production of the blasphemous rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. By staging a protest outside the Capitol Theater, we will be demonstrating our abhorrence at what will be taking place inside the theater on Friday evening. For that which will be carried on under the guise of entertainment will in reality be the blasphemous spectacle of the mocking of Jesus Christ and the denying of His deity and His sinless and spotless life. And people will pay to see the Lord Jesus, the Christ that we preach, and the Christ that we love. They will pay to see this same Christ held up to scorn and ridicule. According to Tim Rice, who wrote the words of the opera, quote, "The idea of the whole opera is to have Christ seen through the eyes of Judas and Christ as a man, not as a God. And the fact that Christ Himself is just as mixed up and unaware of exactly what He is as Judas is." So here we are told by Tim Rice how the Lord Jesus Christ is to be presented in Jesus Christ Superstar. He is to be presented as one who is mixed up and one who is unaware of exactly who or what he is. That alone was under the heading of blasphemy. Tim Rice also thinks that the Lord Jesus is just a man, and he denies that Jesus Christ is God. He says that Christ is mixed up. What was Peter's testimony of the Savior? John 21, verse 7. Lord, thou knowest all things. Far from being mixed up, Jesus Christ is God, and being God, he is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. Far from being nothing more than a mere man, Jesus Christ is God. Behold the testimony of Thomas when he fell at the Savior's feet upon beholding the nail prints. He cried, my Lord and my God. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then we read in Romans chapter 9, and there in the 5th verse, Paul speaking of the Lord Jesus, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Jesus Christ is God blessed forever. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Tim Rice also thinks that the Lord Jesus was powerless to heal all who came to him. The Lord in Jesus Christ Superstar is depicted as turning upon a crowd and screaming in frustration at them as they begged him for his healing touch. This is how Christ is depicted in Superstar. He's supposed to say, there's too many of you, don't push me. There's too little of me, don't crowd me. Heal yourselves. Christ of the Bible is very different from the Christ portrayed in Superstar. We have already seen in John 1, verses 1 to 3, that he made all things. Where then is his powerlessness? If Jesus Christ is omniscient, and he is, and Jesus Christ is also omnipotent, he is all powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do. Throughout the Gospels, we read of the multitudes who came to him to be healed. Not one did Christ ever turn away. Matthew 12, verse 15, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Tim Rice also informs us through Superstar that he thinks the Lord Jesus had a sensual relationship with a harlot, Mary Magdalene. We should say, of course, that there is not one shred of evidence in Scripture that suggests that Mary Magdalene was such a woman. The only thing that is said about her past life is that she was possessed of seven devils. Christ, in His grace and mercy, delivered her and cleansed her, but there is no hint at all in Scripture that she was indeed a harlot. Neither did our Lord Jesus have the relationship with her that is suggested in this awful musical. The Christ of the Bible and the Christ that we worship is without sin. He was sinless in thought, sinless in word, sinless in action, sinless indeed. He knew no sin. He could do no sin. It was impossible for Jesus Christ to sin. But what we have in Superstar are the thoughts of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I wonder what are the thoughts of those who will attend that show on Friday night and the other six shows there in the Capitol Theatre. What do they think of Christ? What was Judas? You see, Christ is portrayed in Superstar in a scene through the eyes of Judas Iscariot. What was Judas? Judas was a deceiver. Judas was a betrayer. Judas was a thief. Judas was a liar. And Judas was a devil. John 6, verse 70. John 13, verse 27, the Lord said, one of you is a devil. And in John 13, 27, we're told Satan entered into him. Satan entered into Judas. So we're looking at Christ through the eyes of Satan in Jesus Christ, Superstar. And the people who will attend that show will be looking at a Christ that is presented to them by the devil himself. Because the Christ of Jesus Christ, Superstar, is the Christ that the devil will present. What an awful shame that anyone has bought even one ticket and paid to see one show of Jesus Christ, Superstar. But thus far we have seen what Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber have to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in our text, really the Lord asks us the question, what think ye of Christ? The Lord Jesus put this question to the Pharisees. They had been questioning him. It's as if every enemy and every breath of hell had surrounded the Lord Jesus. And they brought their questions to him with the intent of entangling him in his words. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Look at verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. Look at verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees. Look at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. See, when he defeated the Pharisees, the Herodians came, and then the Sadducees. When he confounded the Sadducees, the Pharisees came back again. And they sought to do what the Sadducees couldn't do. And one of the Pharisees spoke to him, and we are told that he was a lawyer. Oh, they would use one of their best men. They would use this lawyer to confound Christ. But their efforts were futile. We read again in verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Now it's Christ's turn to ask a question. And the Lord said to the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of me? Tell me the truth. It's easy to talk about someone behind their back. But my, whenever you're challenged and you stand face to face with them, it's not just as easy to say what you really think about them. And the Lord Jesus stands face to face with the Pharisees and he challenges them and says, tell me, what think ye of Christ? Let us look at these words this morning. What think ye of Christ? We have already considered what others think of Christ. Let's consider here, first of all, this question, and we note that it is a particular question. The Lord's enemies had been relentlessly questioning him and pursuing him. They wanted to know his thoughts on certain matters, that they might entangle him in his speech. This, of course, they were unable to do. But now the Lord questions them. He wanted to get their thoughts on a certain matter. Notice here that we have a specific question. What think ye of Christ? The Lord Jesus no doubt could have asked the Pharisees many questions on many different subjects. But no, he asked them this specific question, what think ye of Christ? He could have asked them, what are your thoughts on the law? Because the Pharisees, as you know, lived by the law. The law and living by the law was their religion. And I'm sure they could have gone on for hours talking about their law, talking about their religion. Oh, they were always watching for people who would transgress the law, give them an opportunity to condemn the transgressor. In John chapter 8, we read there in verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? See, they were trying to set Christ against the law. And again, in Matthew 12, in verse 2, we find again the Pharisees, and they bring up the law. Matthew 12, and verse 2, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were always ready to give their thoughts on the law. They were always ready to talk about the law. But the Lord Jesus said, what think ye of Christ? You know, my friend, there are many like the Pharisees today. Religious people. And they will talk for hours about their religion. They'll give you their thoughts on religion. But they will never talk about Christ. They are religionists to the backbone. But ask them, what think ye of Christ? And they have nothing to say. The Pharisees could have talked about the law. They could have and did talk about the laborers. The Pharisees were quick to point out to the Lord that his disciples had plucked the ears of corn and eaten them on the Sabbath day. We've just read that in Matthew 12, also Luke chapter 6. On another occasion, they murmured against the Lord's disciples, Luke 5 and verse 30. They were always ready to condemn the Lord's disciples. And once again, there are those today. And if you ask them, what do you think of Christians? Why, they'll not hesitate one moment. Oh, this is what I think of Christians. This is what I think of so-and-so who professes to be a Christian. And they'll go on and on and on and on, condemning God's people, but then ask them, what think ye of Christ? And they have nothing to say. For they have their eyes on Christians instead of on Christ. They have their eyes on the Lord's laborers instead of on the Lord. And really, what matters is what they think of Christ. It doesn't matter what they think of Christians. It doesn't matter what they think of religions. It's what they think of Christ. That's what will determine their eternity. What think ye of Christ? He asked them, what think ye of Christ? Question had to do with the Lord Himself. They were ready to give their thoughts on the law and ready to give their thoughts on the Lord's laborers, but Christ wanted to know what they thought about the Lord Himself. The Pharisees had very low thoughts of Christ. We all know that. And when the Lord said to them, what think ye of Christ? They answered, he is the Son of David. But that's not enough. For you see, Jesus Christ is more than the Son of David. They said he is the Son of David. But the Lord Jesus, yes, he is the Son of David, but he's more. He's the Son of God. The Lord Jesus quotes Psalm 110 and verse 1. He quotes to them the words of the psalmist, verse 43. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Father, of course, was speaking to the Son. One Lord speaks to the other Lord. Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ is Jehovah, and Jesus Christ today is sitting at the Father's right hand. There are many like that today, like these Pharisees. They can never see Christ as being God. They think that He was nothing more than a good man, and that He died a martyr's death. That was all. That's what they think. And how foolish are their thoughts. Proverbs 15 verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord." The thoughts of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber are an abomination to the Lord. And all who think of Christ as they think of Him, their thoughts are an abomination. Proverbs 12 verse 5 informs us, "The thoughts of the righteous are right. The righteous man will always have right thoughts regarding Jesus Christ." And the minister that stands up in his pulpit and says he doesn't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus or the miracle working power of Christ is not a righteous man. Because the thoughts of the righteous are right. If you are a righteous man, then you'll think right thoughts regarding God's Son. Notice also, it is not only a specific question, but a very significant question. There's more to this question that may at first meet the eye. Yes, it was to challenge the Pharisees as to what they believed about the Savior. What think ye of Christ? It was also asked by the Lord to prove His deity to His hearers. For He quoted Psalm 110 to them, proving His deity. And that's why the Jewish people today do not like Psalm 110, because it proves that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And here was Christ proving it to the Pharisees that very day. But there is something more in this question. Proverbs 23 verse 7 tells us, "For as he," or "as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he really is. Doesn't matter what he appears to be. Doesn't matter what he tries to be before the eyes of the world. It's what he thinks in his heart. That's what he really is. That's the truth about that man. If a man has no loving thoughts in his heart towards Jesus Christ, then that man has no love for Christ. For what a man thinks about Christ will decide that man's eternity. Matthew chapter 23. The very next chapter. Here the Lord pronounces His woes upon the Pharisees. Verse 25, verse 27. Now we know that the Pharisees did not have loving thoughts towards Christ. They were out to trip him up. They were out to entangle him in his words. They led that band of people against Christ. They wanted him put to death. What did the Lord say of those who did not have good thoughts towards Christ? Verse 33. He's speaking to the Pharisees and he says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" As they thought in their hearts, that's what they really were. They were candidates for hell because of what they thought of Christ. Someone has said that a man cannot be hanged for his thoughts. That may be so, but many have been damned of their thoughts. Genesis 6, the Lord threatens to destroy the world. Why? Because the thoughts of men were wicked, exceedingly wicked, continually. Thoughts, what was going on in their hearts. And as a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. A man will only be in heaven if he has right thoughts regarding Christ. John Newton sets out this great truth in one of his wonderful hymns. He wrote a hymn based on our text that we're considering this morning. And in that hymn, Newton declares, "What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him." So it doesn't matter what else you do. Doesn't matter how a man behaves. If he doesn't have right thoughts towards Christ, he's wrong in everything. Newton goes on to say, "Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most. But they have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I durst not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I were sure he is God." Newton said, "I must have right thoughts concerning Christ. If I do not have right thoughts concerning Jesus Christ, then I cannot possibly hope to be saved by him. I cannot trust in him unless I believe he is God. What think ye of Christ?" Let us have high thoughts of Christ. Not only is it a specific question and a very significant question, also a sensible question. Note the words of the Savior to the Pharisees. He said, "What think ye of Christ?" That, of course, dear hearer, today is the problem with many. They don't think
And then they going into that theater on Friday night will give a thought to the Christ of the Bible. As they sit there and listen to the Lord Jesus being blasphemed and mocked, many will think, oh, I should not be here. And many will think about how the Savior is being treated there in that show. Many give no thought to what Christ has done for sinners. They never think about the cross work. They never think about the price that was paid there. They never give a moment's thought to the dangers associated with rejecting Christ, blaspheming Christ, mocking Christ, or despising Christ. Not one moment's thought do they give. Is this not then a sensible question? What think ye of Christ? It's time to start thinking about Christ. The psalmist was right when he wrote, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Or the words may be rendered, all his thoughts are, there is no God. So would the words of the Lord Jesus to the Pharisees not cause men and women to think about Christ? It's a sensible question. Because where we will be in eternity will depend on what we think of Christ. It is also a personal question. We are told, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Now, there may have been a crowd of Pharisees. There may have been a multitude of people, but the Lord said, what think ye? I want to know your own personal opinion. What are your personal thoughts? Some people today might even think this question is a little too personal. You ever ask someone if they were saved or not? Not the first time I have asked that question and been told it's none of your business. Because they reckon the question is just a little too personal. But the Lord Jesus was being personal here. And he said, what think ye? When we consider thoughts, the thoughts of man, we're considering first of all hidden things. Thoughts are things that can remain hidden in our hearts. Thoughts are things we can keep to ourselves if we do not wish to reveal them or disclose them. Someone may say that they are true worshippers of God, but their thoughts may say otherwise. But note the Lord Jesus asked this question. He asked the question, and he asked the question about himself. And Jesus Christ, of course, knew the answer. Whatever the Pharisees would say to the Lord in response to the question, it would come as no surprise to the Lord, because the Lord knew what they were thinking. You turn, please, to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. The Lord Jesus said to the man who was sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, saith, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? The Lord knows the thoughts of men. This is a solemn thing. As we sit today in God's house, God knows our thoughts. God knows what we think about Christ. What think ye of Christ? The Lord knows. The Lord knows what we think of Him. Whatever we say or however we behave, the Lord knows our thoughts. And oh, may those thoughts please. Not only are thoughts often hidden thoughts, but let them be high thoughts. What think ye of Christ? When the Lord put this question to the Pharisees, their response indicated that they did not have high thoughts of the Lord Jesus. They said, the Messiah, oh, he will be the son of David. The Lord, of course, is asking the question regarding Himself. And the Lord is saying to the Pharisees, but I am more than the son of David. I am God. The Pharisees didn't believe that, of course. They didn't have high thoughts of the Savior. Dear child of God, let us always have high thoughts of Christ. Let us think of Him being high above all. Let us think of Him as deserving of our worship, of our praise, and our adoration. Let us think of Him as having the preeminence in all things. Let us never think that the servant is above the master. Let us never think that we are above. Let us always think that Christ must be our all in all, our life, our breath, our everything. What think ye of Christ? Oh, that we would have high thoughts of Christ. Let me go back to Newton's hymn. John Newton wrote, if asked, what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor, I'll say He's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my husband, my trust and my friend, my Savior from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. Surely we can all say amen to the words of Him. He is my portion, my Lord, and my all. What think ye of Christ? We think of Christ, do we not have happy thoughts? When we think of Christ, do those thoughts not fill our hearts with happiness and joy and gladness when we think of Christ? Do we not think of those happy hours we have spent with Him before His throne? Do we not think of those periods of sweet communion we have spent with the Savior around His Word? Is there not praise in our hearts, and joy there, and happiness there when we think of Christ and how He has answered our prayers? What think ye of Christ? And what about those times when we couldn't see our way through our troubles? And in the midst of our troubles, the Savior came. darkness disappeared. And the aching in our heart was removed because the Lord Jesus drew near and went with us. Oh, when we think of Christ, surely our hearts are filled with joy. What think ye of Christ? And finally, here's a practical question. What think ye of Christ? Has even this morning the consideration of this question not prompted us to think about Christ? That shows us how practical this question is. It prompts us to think about the Savior. For those who have given little thought to Christ, may this question this morning, first of all, bring about an awakening. May the question awaken God's people. May the question awaken the saints of the Lord from their slumbers to think about Christ. Why wouldn't we all confess it today? Because of the busy nature of our lives. So much to do, and there's so much to be done. Between the hours of waking in the morning and going to sleep at night, that we hardly think about Christ. We think about 1,000 other things. But let us think about Christ. What think ye of? The psalmist has said, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Just during the day to think about Christ and his loving kindness. I believe also we have here a question that would not only be an awakening to the saints, but also to sinners. We could say to the sinner, what think ye of Christ? They hardly think about him. And oh, even as we take our stand next Friday evening, may sinners begin to think about Christ and what he has done for sinners on Calvary. We have here an awakening. We have here a question that demands an answer. What think ye of Christ? What's our answer? Can we say with Newton, he is my Savior, he is my all, he is my everything? What think ye? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. Lord, we confess that often, more often than not, Lord, our thoughts are on other things. Gracious Lord, forgive us for this awful sin. And, O Lord, by Thy Spirit, lead us to think more of Christ. Gracious Lord, be pleased to write this word on our hearts. And also, Lord, be pleased to use our stand for Thee this week. O Lord, we simply want to stand up for Jesus. For we thank Thee, Lord, that Thy Word has told us that Thou art not ashamed to call us Thy brethren. Lord, may we not be ashamed of Thee. Gracious Lord, use our stand to speak to unsaved, to bring sinners to Christ and cause them, awaken them to think about Christ. Be with us, Lord, as we leave the house of God. Return us again tonight, Lord, to worship Thee and to spend more time in Thy presence. That, Lord, we might again think of Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.